Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door, and it's time to open.
Oh, it is so time to open. It is so time to open. This is it, folks. In my opinion, this is the month where it all happens. I've been playing in this game since the particular game I'm referring to at this blessed moment. And I keep saying blessed and it annoys me, but the truth is it's blessed. This blessed moment, if it wasn't dragged out for so long, it wouldn't feel like being annoyed. And it doesn't feel like being annoyed right now because I played in this game since 2008, and there are others who joined the game long before that. So... And what I'm referring to, in case you don't know yet, or who you think you're listening to, is Waking Up in America. You're listening to Radio Dialogues on Life Today in America, brought to you by Key Media, RandyShannon.com, Bragg.com, Happily200.com, and Happily200HGHBreakthrough.com. That's Happily200HGHBreakthrough.com. And if you guys haven't checked that out, boy,
good morning.
And you don't need to. I mean, that's the great part of it, is you don't need to. Now, Randy's on a plane to Mexico. I'm not sure exactly what Sherry's up to. Somebody just came in before we started the show.
And it was Paul.
Paul.
Yes.
Great. So Paul's here. That's terrific. Paul the plumber has
joined us. Good morning. Good morning.
I just got a call, Paul, from Brazil, okay? Brazil, from one of my friends in Brazil, telling me interesting stuff is going on down there. And I know you've only got a few minutes this morning, right?
Yes.
Okay, so is there anything you want to tell us this morning in the few minutes that you have that will electrify our world or just at least entertain it?
Oh, well, you know, I can always electrify. It depends on whether it's good electrification or bad electrification, you know. I have both, obviously, but the good electrification is that we're still here and we have not yet been bombed by the little fat guy with the bad hairdo in North Korea.
I don't think we ever are going to be, personally. It doesn't fit the... Mike and I were talking before the show... It doesn't fit the energy of what's happening on the planet with the eclipse on the 21st and things of that nature. Is it possible that this is a distraction for the global currency reset?
Well, it's a huge question mark, you know, because we've got a madman with the trigger finger on a nuclear weapon or several of them.
Right, but we've also got a world full of very sophisticated defense systems.
Oh, well, of course, we do have that. Nonetheless, it doesn't necessarily mean that if there's a multiple launch, that the one of the baddies isn't going to get through. But the announcement has been made formally by North Korea. The plans are in place and everything is set to launch four missiles at Guam.
So, here's my prediction, Paul, and I know that you're fighting for us and a lot of your friends are fighting for us, and we've got enormous things in the world happening. We're supported by the ETs. We've got an announcer over there that's probably smiling. Mike is in the background. He's been listening to me go on.
We are definitely fighting.
Polarization, and I believe, a good way of calling attention onto the crime and misery that's been presented by the dictators in the world. And what Kim Moon-jung has done to the people of this country is, it isn't just about a bomb. One of the reasons I think people are being careful Paul, is because they know that they don't want to hurt the Korean people who have already been enslaved and starved by this crazy little bugger. So
that's true. It's a paradox. It's a paradox.
It's a paradox because it's
and it's a serious paradox. And it's a humanitarian paradox because, you know, every reprisal, I don't think we call it a reprisal, it's a military response, is going to involve a large number of lives of people who are largely innocent, you know, and enslaved politically, socially, culturally by a regime that has been mad for 50 years. Excuse me, 60 years, because the Korean War was in the 50s. So it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And let's pray that it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because you told me that a couple of days ago when this thing started, you know, when it came to the peak. And so what I did was I have really cool friends. One of them is a Tibetan monk. Another is a Jewish man. There's just a lot of different spiritualities that are in my world to American Indian, okay? And so I organized something that I like, okay? Because you haven't been in my house yet, Paul, but I sit in a home that's got a deck that looks over a valley. So for the last 13 years, in my residence, I've been viewing the bigger picture, okay? And in the bigger picture, things look different than when you're walking around in the crowd and touching the missiles and doing all that kind of stuff. And in the bigger side of the picture, if I had Ernie the electrician here today, Ernie the electrician and I would be looking at electrical boards, and we wouldn't be thinking in terms of missiles. We'd be thinking in terms of focus, energy, and action, things of that nature, like what's going to spark here. And if you take a look at the month of August from a high, you see a month that's absolutely totally loaded with eights. You see the focus of the world on this little poop more than it's ever been in the 60 years that you were just referring to. You see the fact that now you said four bombs, so that's like a huge energy pop. So you see the possibility of a huge energy pop, and it's like putting a magnifying glass on a fire, you know, on some wood and paper to start a fire. But I don't think the fire is destruction because I've worked a lot with energy, and as far as energy is concerned, I would call this a period of transformation. So what you or the listeners may not know is that I was part of Hands Across America back in the 80s. I'm an Olympic torchbearer, so I'm used to that energy. I'm part of that 2,000-year-old energetic flame. But not only am I part of that energy, I also participated in Hands Across America, in which we actually had people holding hands all the way from New York through downtown Los Angeles over to the Pacific Ocean. And it was an incredible thing. There was not anything said. I mean, we all gathered and talked and all that stuff. But when it actually happened, the moment of connection, there was like this jolt that went through all of us. So when you told me a few days ago to pray, I imagined that jolt. I imagined us all holding hands. I imagined the torch for the future. I imagined...
Fascinating. I had a dream of me holding hands with a circle of people, closing our eyes and looking heavenward.
That's it.
Interesting.
That's very, exactly what I set up when you said pray.
It's a lovely image. What I also discovered over the last week and a half or so is that I lost four loved ones within a 12-month period, one after the other.
Well, I know how that is.
And going through, because we're still cleaning up, and I had a free moment from work, I discovered that one of them was a donor to St. John's Indian School in the Dakotas and had a dream catcher hanging in her living room.
Wow.
I subsequently discovered that my stepfather was also a donor to the same Indian school and had not had the opportunity to take out the dream catcher that had been sent to him. with the few hours of sleep that I had, I had an Indian dream, a very gentle one and a very peaceful one. Out of nowhere, I don't dream about Indians. You know, I don't dream about Indian philosophy, Native American Indian folklore. But that happened to be a pretty beautiful part of the dream. So it was very peaceful. So I thought I would throw that in as the good part of my commentary.
Well, it's the truest part of your commentary. Okay, the rest of it is frightening speculation. The true part of your commentary is that we're evolving into the future, and what you and I did when we talked it, when you asked me to pray, and I started creating the circle. I passed that story around to lots and lots and lots of leaders on the planet, okay? So we're not here in terror waiting for the Koreans to bomb us. We're here with our hands linked. I'm holding you. When I was in downtown Los Angeles, and some people are going to like this, but to me it was symbolically good, I was actually holding hands with the Archbishop of downtown Los Angeles. And my name, Kierkegaard, is actually guard of the church. So for me to be, randomly, standing, holding hands with that man and other people, it was like there were no separate distinctions because we were all energy. But you could imagine the energy that was contained in the man that runs the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, the channels that go through him. You know, the things that you may disagree with or whatever, the fact is the guy's very high energy. And so is Paul. Paul the plumber is one of the highest energy men you will ever meet in your entire existence. The people on this radio team who are in different parts of the world right now, one of them is in Brazil, I love it. we're in the world, we're of the world, and we're leaders in the world, and we hold our arms open, and this really is it. I am totally 100% convinced that this is the month. Plus, Paul, I just got information this morning that the Iraqis have paid their people, and by the time the year 2020 comes along, they will actually have their entire payroll on electronic transfer, so it'll just go straight to cards and stuff. They won't be putting out cash or going through banks anymore or anything of this. And we have the eclipse coming on the 21st. So, Paul, I just want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for the way you've trained yourself. You're an amazing man, and I don't know if our listeners know how I fan, Paul, but I'm about to tell them because I want you to know that there are divine interventions, and Paul is part of a divine intervention. I scream at the universe sometimes when I get frustrated, and I said, "You promised me a whistleblower, right?" And I said that about a day before I called my plumber because my toilet was leaking, and Paul picked up the telephone, and I said, "You're not the plumber, but you got a great voice. You should be on radio," something like that, wasn't it, Paul?
Oh, I suppose, you know, that's probably not a bad idea.
So then that's pretty much what he said. And I said, "So when are you available?" And I said, "Can you do it tomorrow?" And he said, "Sure."
Well,
that to me is a miracle. That to me is God's grace.
Just so you all know, I'm hoping to have the opportunity to visit a little surfer church not far from the ocean called St. Mary's by the Sea, which on any given morning has surfboards leaning against the church. The surfers pop in, go to Mass, and then hit the waves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to do that later this evening. It isn't just a hope. I think it's an obligatory visit, just, you know, to add to the spiritual energy that we need to have. And hopefully the Chinese are going to come down very, very hard on the little chubby fat man.
Actually, I won't tell you what people have suggested should be done with him because it's But nobody wants to hurt Korea because they don't want to hurt the people. They just want to take out, as you described him, the little chubby fat man, one way or another, okay? So we'll see what the one way or the other is. However it happens, I would stake my life on the fact that there isn't going to be World War III and he's not going to get to shoot a missile that's going to end up anywhere. I would guarantee that. Possible.
Regrettably, I've reached my point of no return. I have to sign off.
Well, thank you for having signed on. And before you sign off, the eclipse on the 21st is visible. Is going to be visible in Wyoming, in Salem, Oregon, and it turns out it's going to be visible in Carlsbad, California. So you may want to put that on your calendar.
Where in California?
Carlsbad.
Oh, in Carlsbad. Well, that's a lovely place.
It is. So I'll meet you in Carlsbad, California on the 21st. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a lovely thought. If I'm around, I'll be there with bells on. And
let's arrange it. Let's meet.
And special classes.
I didn't find out about it until today, okay? It's on the 21st in Carlsbad. It's a partial solar. We'll be able to see the partial solar eclipse on the 21st. This is the first time in like 87 years, so go for it, buddy.
Sounds good. All right, well, listen.
Thank you.
Take care of your listeners. Take care of your listeners. Very important. Keep them informed and keep giving them that wonderful energy that comes from this show.
You're totally welcome, and thanks for being part of the generation of the energy, and go for it. You don't have to kick butt. All you have to do is keep dreaming, Paul. You're amazing.
Well, that's true. Dreams are important as long as they can be solidified into some action. So, lots of love to all of you.
For having you dream, folks. Go for it, buddy.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Till next week.
Wow, Mike. You there?
Yeah, I think somebody else jumped on, too.
So who else came in? Is that Lonnie? Or Ron? Maybe they jumped off, too. I don't know.
No, somebody.
Is anybody on that we don't know about?
Yeah, somebody jumped on, and they're on right now because they jumped on, and I heard them moving around. So,
you got to come out and share your dreams. Now they're going to be quiet. I guess we've got to fly on the wall, Mike.
You may be talking about me.
Who's that?
I just called. This is Dean. I just called in to see what's going on with Tim Dameron.
Well, he's doing a seminar today, my friend.
Well, I am signed up for the seminar, and a friend and I both are, and neither one of us have received any paperwork or received a telephone number to call into the seminar on. And it's about an hour and a half away.
You're actually on a private conference bridge right now for the radio show. So I'm not even sure how you got this number.
Well, I'm not either. I've been trying to get in to talk 1050, and I don't get anything there either.
Okay, you're not in the right location. This is a radio show which is separate from Tim. What we did was an interview with him last week, which was extraordinary,
yeah,
by the way. But he had passed out a number that wasn't supposed to be passed out, and I think you got a hold of it. So if you could remove yourself from the conference bridge, I wish I could help you. Do you have his email?
Yes, I do have his email, and he's not responding to that either.
So I can't help you, and I need to have you go off the bridge, please.
Okay, I like jumping off bridges.
Make sure you can swim.
Yeah, that number is not supposed to be given out. I don't know what happened.
No,
there.
It's not supposed to be given out. Tim did it last week, and we had the conference bridge with all kinds of people on it. Tim Dameron is extraordinary, okay? The reason people are so desperately wanting to find his seminar or do his seminar or whatever it is because the guy is loaded with top-notch information. He is a little, sometimes he's easier to find than others, but if you hear about a seminar coming up with Tim Dameron on contracts, what he does is he breaks contracts, Mike. Or he doesn't break them. He actually has people extract themselves from a lot of contracts that we've made that we had no idea that we were really making and didn't really want to make them. So that energy that that gentleman had, bless his heart, I totally understand it, because when Tim starts talking, I start drooling about what he knows about.
Yeah, that he was on last week, right?
On last week. So you can actually go to Voice America and you can actually download the show from last week, which is Tim Dameron's show, and you can hear about him. And he's going to be doing another show in September. So I totally, if I were you, I'd definitely sign up for this guy. He's great bang for the buck. No kidding. So it's funny how all this stuff works. I was in shock, Mike, when all these people start calling in the conference bridge. We must have had 10 of them.
It's okay to have the people that you know are going to be on, but someone just comes random, that is kind of different. By the way, you have a David Icke interview that you wanted to play. Did you want to play that now, since time is of essence here on your show?
You know, I loved having Paul the Plumber's conversation about dreams and dreaming. And the fact that he saw, Mike, exactly what I set up with the hands around the circle. I just actually want to finish that picture, because what I see as we link hands with each other and send the electrical charge through, that we're actually the breakthrough, or the helping to birth the new reality. I think we're at a critical time. I've named this show, This Is It. There's things that have been happening in the past. For instance, we're going to hear a 15-minute tape on David Icke. And what I want you to get is that basically we've been genetically messed with and screwed up, and we need to undo ourselves. But we also need to honor those who were part of that transformation, i.e. the transgender person. And when you see how it was constructed and what's going on, you can understand the necessity of us being incredibly careful about what we take on for our minds and our bodies as far as nurturing them are concerned. Because we've been genetically manipulated, and we're actually designed for death, okay, an earlier death. That is why HGH Breakthrough, Happily 200, HGHBreakthrough.com is so important, because it reverses the pituitary age of trending, and it starts to feed the pituitary so that it starts to produce HGH again, which allows the body to go back into balance. It costs about $92 a month to get it to your house, but what it does is absolutely astounding. I am doing, I'll be 77 this month, Mike. I don't think you knew that. And I am doing things that I haven't done since my 60s, okay, which is just going to town for a 4th of July parade, or spending a lot of time walking around when I couldn't walk before. I've lost my limp, all kinds of things. We're literally reducing aging, and we will be able to work with what David Icke is talking about. But pay attention, because it's very interesting stuff. Okay, so, Mike, give it a shot.
Well, I'm going to connect some dots today that might not on the surface seem to connect, two in particular. And this is the first one, Spermageddon. This is one of a stream of reports in the media this week about a study, 43,000 men involved, that concluded that sperm counts are plummeting catastrophically, to the point where the lead researcher was saying that if it continues like this, then there is a threat to the human race itself. Dot number two is this one, a article in a British newspaper, 800 children as young as 10 given sex change drugs. And of course, we've had this explosion of focus in this whole arena we call transgender in recent times. And the third dot, one that, you know, might not seem to be connected at all, is this one. Will robots destroy us? This is a report, again, widely reported around the world, of this SPAT, between two of these high-tech Silicon Valley moguls, Mark Zuckerberg, the T-shirt at Facebook, and Elon Musk, a co-founder of PayPal, and one of the leaders in this whole transhumanist high-tech arena. And they have very differing views on the dangers or benefits of artificial intelligence. So there's three dots which would not appear on the surface to be connected, like I say, two of them particularly. But let's start off with this collapse in sperm counts. This was a study, like I say, of 43,000 men. And what they did was pull together nearly 200 other studies and did an analysis of them. And they were basically focused in the Western world countries of North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. And they found a 59.3% decline in total sperm count in men from those areas of the world. Western birth rates have also been falling for 30 years, according to reports, in this same period. And of course, fertility services, which when I was young, I've got a good memory, you hardly ever heard of. It's now a massive industry trying to help couples conceive children. And another thing that's happened in this period, when something clearly is messing with the reproductive processes in men, not only men, probably, but this is what this study was about. Testicular cancer rates have doubled in 30 years. This same recurring period that we keep hearing about this week. And Richard Sharp, professor of reproductive health at the University of Edinburgh, and apparently a recognized expert on toxins in the environment, he said this about falling sperm counts. Now, there can be little doubt that it is real. So it is time for action. Something in our modern lifestyle, diet or environment is causing this, and it's getting progressively worse. Now, in that report about Spermageddon, the subheadline was worse to the effect of, is this planet Earth giving us payback? I suggest after nearly 30 years of full-time research into that which is really running this human society, that it ain't planet Earth. This is systematic, and that's what connects to the other dots, as I'll come to. So here we have a situation where the modern world of toxicity, I mean, look, anywhere you go, if you don't use kind of, if you like, organic products, then the kitchen, the bathroom is a place of toxicity with all the stuff for cleaners and what have you, washing up liquids. And then you go through an average day going about your life and look at all the times you come into contact with toxicity. And of course, because of this extraordinary expansion of technology based on radiation, we live in an incredibly irradiated environment, incredible in its increase compared with what I was a kid in the 1950s. And one of these studies into the causes of falling sperm counts is one that was in Israel and Australia, and it highlighted the potential adverse effect on sperm of cell phones carried in trouser pockets. I mean, there it is, right next to said sperm count. All day, you'd most people, and you've got this radiation, this microwave radiation, beating away in just the place you don't want it. Oh no, that won't hurt. Are you kidding? I mean, the reasons that this sperm collapse is happening, or many of the reasons, are actually in our face. Staring at us. It's me. So another villain that's being put forward are chemicals in the environment that mimic the female sex hormone, oestrogen. What are we having the female sex organ in the environment for? Now, what you can say is, because it's a choice, either the people doing it, ultimately, we're deciding it's going to be done, are freaking stupid. And there will be cases of that lower down the pyramid. Or it's being done systematically. And I say higher up the pyramid. That is exactly what's happening. There is a war on the human body, not least human reproduction. So some other things that are in the environment and all around us and in the things that people use. Other leading theories, this story says, about the cause of falling male births and sperm counts include exposure to pesticides, herbicides, mercury, lead, dioxin, and other pollutants, which are called endocrine disrupting chemicals. These are the glands of the endocrine system, which are absolutely fundamental to human health. And these endocrine disrupting chemicals are known as EDCs. And EDCs are found in plastics, food containers and packaging, canned food and drinks, electrics, solvents, cleaning products, detergents, pesticides, cosmetics, soaps, car exhausts, polish, paints, batteries, dental fillings, the mercury, and many types of fish, including swordfish. Often highlighted is the hormone disruptor known as BPA, bisphenol or bisphenol. And BPA is found in tin cans, which people put food in bottles, plastic food containers, and cash register receipts. Thank you, sir. Here's your receipt. You don't want children, do you? So you add to that herbicides sprayed on farms, parks, golf courses, and put all these things together. And we are being deluged at every angle with substances and radiation that are doing for sperm counts. And that, of course, it goes without saying, but I will anyway, eventually, if that goes on, as that lead researcher said, does for the human race. And this is Dr. Melody Milam Potter. She's an American clinical health psychologist, been doing that for 30 years. And she wrote this in an excellent article. Synthetic chemicals can create these silent switches in nature's plan. EDCs, we encounter every day, can alter the sex hormone balance, preventing male genitals from growing properly. By suppressing testosterone, or by enhancing or mimicking the female sex hormone estrogen, they can undermine the natural testosterone messages surging through a growing fetus. For instance, estrogen mimics, such as dioxin, a widespread pollutant and a potent endocrine disruptor, can intercept and overcome a hormonal message from a male gene. Dioxin also acts as a testosterone flusher, reducing male hormone concentrations so much that the male action may not be stimulated adequately. Testosterone suppressors like DDT can block its position as on a receptor. Hormone stimulators can intensify the action of a natural hormone so much that the system shuts down and refuses to receive a male go-ahead signal. In fact, research substantiates that exposure to EDCs at a crucial time can disrupt the entire genital sequence. And so while all this is going on, of course, we've had this explosion of focus out of nowhere in terms of its speed on this whole arena of transgender. And there's a number of things that come from that. First of all, whether someone feels they're a man or feels they're a woman, it's none of my business. Good luck to you. You do what you feel is right for you, and that should be respected and not in any way discriminated against. Of course not. But if we're going to be a bit bloody streetwise, then we've got to look a bit further afield than that and ask why so many more people, young people, are questioning their gender, and why it's become such a focus by, quote, the system, in the sense that this subject is everywhere and impacting on even the language that's used now. Now, if you look at what is happening from this chemical point of view, it indeed, what I've just described in that quote, then clearly there is tremendous potential for these chemicals and other disruptors, as they're called, in changing the way that the body develops in terms of its male-female direction. But another reason that there is so much focus in the transgender area, and why so many more people, young people particularly, are questioning their gender, is because they are being subjected to a propaganda, perception manipulation onslaught to encourage them to question what they weren't questioning before. It's coming from all directions. Now, you can say, oh, you shouldn't say that. It's discrimination against transgender people. No, it's not. It'd be silly. It's asking why this propaganda is happening. And it's asking, what is the effect on gender balance in the body of all these chemicals that are clearly doing for sperm counts? And there was this recently. There was a head teacher at a school in London, posh school, costs lots of money to go there. And this school announced that it was considering allowing boys to wear skirts because growing numbers of children are questioning their gender and the binary way people look at things, quote. Now, Why do you think that is? That it's just happened? No, there's a reason it's happening, probably more than one. But certainly among them, real up there, is this propaganda of perceptual deception. And this head teacher said this, two quotes which basically say it all. He didn't realize it was, but he was. Number one, in common with all other schools and youth organizations, we are seeing greater numbers of pupils questioning gender identity than in the past. Oh, I wonder why that could be. What do you think? And his second quote is, having said that, in the years gone by, absolutely no young people, absolutely no young people were raising this issue at all, and it seems inconceivable that these sorts of questions simply didn't exist. Well, maybe they didn't on the scale that they do now because of this propaganda and because of this impact on male-female balance triggered and instigated by this chemical tidal wave that we now call human society. And the American College of Pediatricians reported that children are being indoctrinated to reassess their gender with reckless, profit-driven doctors prescribing sex change hormones to children as young as 12. The report condemned this as child abuse. And if we come to that report from earlier, this one, we see the same happening in Britain. The report says more than 800 children in England, some as young as 10, are being given controversial drugs to help them change gender. The National Health Service, for people around the world, that's the state, although give them time, it won't be, the state health service. The NHS treatment, which halts the onset of adulthood, is aimed at young people who believe they are trapped in the wrong body. And how many didn't believe that until the propaganda started? Powerful monthly hormone injections stop the development of sex organs, breasts, and body hair, making it easier for doctors to carry out sex swap surgery later, the report goes on. Until now, it was thought that just a handful of children and teenagers were receiving the injections, known as puberty blockers. But the Mail on Sunday, which did a very good report on this, can reveal that more than 600 young people are undergoing treatment at the Gender Identity Development Service Clinic at the University College Hospital in London, and that 200 are at a clinic in Leeds. And the Mail on Sunday has been told that 230 of those 800 are under the age of 14. The huge growth in the number of youngsters being prescribed the drugs came after the NHS scrapped the age limit in 2014, which was previously 16. Now doctors can give the injections to children from the very early stages of puberty, meaning that in some cases, 10-year-olds are receiving them. This is not happening by random chance. After three decades of uncovering the networks that really control human society, I'll say that with great confidence, to say the least. And this brings us to dot number three, which is this exchange of opinion between Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. And if someone tells me that Zuckerberg really runs Facebook, I'll book them into a naivety treatment clinic. And Elon Musk, who is saying that this development of artificial intelligence is a threat to human existence. It is, big time. And I've explained in my last book, Phantom Self, why. Strange, however, that Elon Musk is also buying and developing companies to connect the human brain to artificial intelligence, what, to send satellites up through his SpaceX operation.
Okay, SpaceX, you know, this whole thing, it goes on, but the truth of the matter, folks, this is an effective peek at what has been done that actually has been done very intentionally. It was something called Codex Elementarius. I was actually, during the course of this, I was looking it up on the Internet. It doesn't show what it used to show. Codex Elementarius was a decree in 1969 to reduce the population of the planet to 500 million people, because that's what the Illuminati thought would be a perfect number for slavery. And they've been highly successful at it. What David Icke, and he's a well-respected researcher, I've heard him speak in person. The guy's off the charts. He's the first one I heard about all the pedophile stuff from. He's the first one I heard about all the hunting, the children, the naked children in the forest of Belgium, about the autism that was created in Belgium, all this kind of stuff. These guys have been systematic, and it's mostly men. I'm sure there's some women in there. I think one of the women may be the Queen of England. But mostly this is a male thing. They're said to be reptilians. There's all kinds of conversations going on about who they might be. But what we're looking at is the results of who they are. And when I hear about, I actually worked in Hollywood with people with transgender identity problems back in the 70s. And it was a problem for them, because the culture does not accept the transgender person, and it's an arduous process that people go through to collect or claim their sexual identity. And at that time, a full 50% of them were committing suicide within 2 years after having had the procedures of correction done. So this is a put-up deal. Transgenders probably occur naturally in society, but not at the rates that they're doing now. And you know bloody well that they've been caused. And these people are being caused amazing, and their families are being caused amazing pain, amazing things. And then to hear that these transgender drugs now, it's like they've figured out that they can't get to you so much with all these things to give your erectile dysfunction. After they've created erectile dysfunction, then they're giving you something to create it, but it could give you a heart attack, have your left leg drop off. The choices that are being offered to men and women in this culture are a result of this Codex Elementarius. And if you take a quick look at Dan Brown's book, the most recent one is actually, I think it's a couple of years ago now. It came out, is that that long ago? Dan Brown's book, Inferno, came out in 2013, okay? In 2013, that's what this movie is about. This movie is about creating an infertile world. So that was 4 years ago. Come on, Dan, give us another one you're due. That was 4 years ago. This guy has written Digital Fortress. He's written Angels and Demons. He's written Deception Points. He's written The Da Vinci Code, The Lost and Inferno, The Lost Symbol and Inferno. And Tom Hanks has played him. A perfect choice for this guy. So there's people that have been identifying this and talking about it, but now it's a critical result. So if you've got somebody convincing your kids that they need to have sex changes and stuff, tell them to knock it off, because whatever sex they are is absolutely fine, and we'll create that probably 1 in 10, or no, I suspect it's more like 1 in 100 may be truly a misidentified transgender genetic experience. Those people can all be helped, okay? Whatever. But this is an epidemic, and it's an epidemic of greed and cruelty and just plain sheer... God, I don't even know. Mike, can you think of the right word for this? Are you there?
Yeah. I think what it's doing is it's becoming mainstream, the thought progress of transgenderism, and I think to me the educational channels are where the brainwashing is starting, if you would so say. I would think this is something you would hear in pre-war Germany, and to me the homeschooling and self-education are among the few safe ways to raise children to be sane adults in the next generation, wouldn't you?
Yeah, especially since we've got this little trippy thing in California where if you don't get your kid inoculated with what they want to inoculate that kid with, you don't get to go to school. So there's a lot of parents that can't homeschool their children. So guess what? They may have things against inoculation, but the kids need to go to school, so I guess we're going to have to get them inoculated, honey. Okay? It's evil, 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 evil.
And I'm sure there is at some point there are kids when they grow up that have issues with their sexual identity. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure of that. But I think they said there was also scientific studies done that David Icke had talked about in the same article that you heard, the interview, that after a while, 90% of them, that would dissolve, that they would discover their identity. But to sit here and give children under 12 puberty blockers to assess who they are, that to me is kind of insane.
It's evil insanity, and that's exactly what Hitler stood for, was evil
exactly.
insanity. And the people went along with it, and we don't go along with this. We need to cherish our children. We need to assist them in growing up. We need to get these vaccinations disappeared. But we're also looking at a field called GMOs poisoning us, fluoride in the water poisoning us,
right.
Stuff that you've been good poisoning you. The plastic in the bottles poisoning you. After I listened to this tape, I've taken all the plastic containers out of the refrigerator and I went out and bought glass containers.
Yeah.
I don't have any more plastic containers in the refrigerator. I took all the plastic containers and I'm putting things like nuts and bolts in them, things like that, you know, tool stuff, or something I want to protect, but it's inanimate. So it's like, do it where you can do it, but don't buy it. And you can, the thing is, when they wouldn't even let us get out of vaccinating our children because we had a religious differences about it, they're
right.
forcing, they're not allowing that to, they're allowing no out. And that's when you start to get suspicious. It's like being marched into the gas chambers. Don't do it.
You got 1 minute, Dr. Val.
Yes.
1 minute.
1 minute. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media. Our radio partner is CloningCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wallach, Deepak Chopra, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams. And by the way, I did go to Esther Williams' birthday party at the Roosevelt Hotel. That was major fun. Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, you heard him in the first part of the show, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, David R., descendant of King David, Randy Shannon, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, DrBal.com, and Doctor is all spelled out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Tim Dameron, you rock. It was great having you on the show last week. Jess Bernard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, Ron Simon, and our research director, Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you have given us over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster, Joseph Chung. Merci beaucoup to Ben Migan for Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3. Don't worry, we're not going to die from whatever the crazy little dude is doing. Paul was right on the prayer that he talked about, the dream that he talked about. That's what we're up to.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through. Now your heart is open.